Appreciate it. All right. Good evening, everyone. And it's fantastic to be here again. I have so much to say in a limited amount of time, so I'll just get right to it. My grandparents were missionaries. Some of you have seen when I showed my pictures, some pictures of them. There's a wonderful story about my grandfather. He was an alcoholic before he became a Christian. He got saved on a Sunday morning, went soul winning Sunday afternoon, and got baptized Sunday night. And fully, totally, and wholly committed to the Lord until he died. From the time he got born again, as he was a little older, I believe he was 39 when he got saved, until he passed away and went on to heaven, he's wholly committed to the Lord. And my grandmother, after my grandfather died, my grandmother wrote a book about all of the stories of the crazy things that happened to them on the mission field. And that was a manuscript. She was in an accident and shortly thereafter passed away, and that got put in a box. And it got put in a storage room, and one of my cousins found it about 30 years after it had been put in a box, took it out, and my mother and her put the book together, and about 2 weeks ago, they got the first copies printed, and this is a wonderful book. I had a man tell me just this week, once he picked it up, he couldn't put it down. It's just from a missionary wife's perspective, all of the things that happened to them on the mission field and how the Lord used them. The back of it says, from a drunkard to a missionary, their story is told by the lady who followed him wherever God's will led. Thousands of people around the world are now reaping blessings of two ordinary people who became extraordinary by simply surrendering their lives to God's calling and by being obedient to him until their death. No matter where you are in your life, this story will inspire you to reach your full potential for the Lord. So these books cost me about $5 to get shipped to me and printed and everything, and we're selling them just for a donation. And if you don't have $5 and you would like one, take one, please. And take it home and read it. And you will see how that God can use anybody to do a great thing. Because he's the one that gets the glory for it. That's why God seldom chooses great people to do great things. He chooses people like you and I. And he does a great thing. And then he gets all of the glory for it. And my grandfather had polio. He only had one arm. He was an older man, had four children. And there was no sending agency that would sponsor him when he surrendered to be a missionary. And through that, all of these churches have been started all over the world. A great ministry was started. Not only that, they had 16 grandchildren, and all 16 are serving the Lord. Amen. 12 of them are missionaries.
Amen.
And so my brother's a pastor. He's the only backslidden one. And but God can do great things through your family. And that is the unit that he has chosen to use. So take that opportunity to take one of these. I got a whole stack of them back there on that white table. And if you're going to give any money, give it to William. Is William in here? William, he's back there. Give it to William. He'll collect the money. He gets 0.5%. All the money collected goes to the paying Randy Ashcraft's bills fund. Or to my wife. I heard in the blessings time when everybody was, you know, saying what they were thankful for, how many times, Pastor, the church was mentioned? This church, or this program, or this ministry. And I believe that God works through the local church.
Amen.
Our goal as missionaries is to plant local churches. And I would love to see Fellowship Baptist churches all over Virginia and all over my part of the world. And let me share a need with you, and I'm going to present it formally later on. But many of you know we're planning a trip to Pakistan in July. Our flight, we've got our tickets, and we still have to get our visas approved into Pakistan. And we're going to Pakistan to a city called Lahore, Pakistan. Now, how many of you heard of Lahore, Pakistan? Raise your hand. There's one, my son. All right, two or three. Lahore, Pakistan has more people in it than the state of Virginia, the state of West Virginia, and Washington, D.C. combined by over a million. Lahore, Pakistan has four Baptist churches in it. One of them is a split off of another one, and they're running about 20 in attendance. Two of them are pretty good churches. So there are two other churches that are like underground churches. You can only find them on social media. So that makes a total of six churches for about 11.2 million people. Now, there's other churches. There's Charismatics, there's Jehovah's Witness, there's Mormons. They're there also. But Baptists, there are very, very, very few. And our ministry started several years ago discipling new converts without any idea that God was going to use that to have a percentage of these people go back to Pakistan and plant churches. And now we have a man who graduated from our Bible Institute in Bangkok. He has moved back to Lahore, Pakistan, and he wants to start a Bible Institute in Lahore, Pakistan. And we're going to plant a church. Now, the bad news is there's only four churches there. The good news is there will be 20% more by the end of this year.
Amen.
You got to look at it positively, you know, brother. You got to look at it in the right light. But there is no Fellowship Baptist Church in Lahore, Pakistan. But I sure wish there was one. And I think you and I can partner together and see God do great things on the other side of the world in a very, very needy place. One of the things that we do as missionaries is plant churches. We help people when they have needs, spiritual needs, physical needs. One of the greatest needs that we see in missions today is that even people who call themselves born-again believers have no knowledge of the scriptures. And they live a life that is no different from the lives that non-believers around them live. You see, here in America, our greatest challenge is apathy. People are apathetic. People don't care. I was at a church the other day, Pastor, and I was preaching. I got to the invitation time, and it was junior church, a bunch of young children there. And I said something, and then one of the little kids said, yeah, I know Jesus died for me. And I thought, my soul, how many people around the world would love to know that? How many people around the world, apathetic, people don't care anymore? One of the greatest truths that we can share as believers is that our lives here on earth, we know, are temporary. And we know for a fact that we will live forever with God if we are believers. And that fact changes everything. We just had Easter. The resurrection changed everything. I'll invite you to open your Bibles. It's just an introduction to the sermon in Job chapter number 14. One of the first books written in the Bible, Job chapter number 14, verse number 10. Now, Job's had a rough time. He's lost his family. He's lost all of his possessions. He's lost his health. He's lost his position. He's lost everything. And he goes into this time where he's talking about death in Job chapter number 14. Chapter number 10. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. Where is he? He's pretty discouraged, I'd say. Asking some questions. As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not. Till the heavens be no more, they shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until thy wrath be past, and thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Then he asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? Yes. Yes. And that is the story the world needs to know. That is the truth that everyone should hear. That if a man dies, he shall live again if he dies in Christ. That's the difference. That is the key. And so as Job is questioning this, he continues on in this verse and he says this, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Now you and I know what that's talking about, right? And Job is saying, oh, I'm just waiting until the change happens. What change is, Job talking about here? He asked the question rhetorically, if a man dies, shall he live again? You and I as believers understand the answer to be yes. Jesus was the first fruits. He rose from the dead, and so shall we.
Amen.
All of those who die in Christ will rise again. And we will come out of the grave bodily, physically as well. We're going to receive a new body, the Bible says.
Amen.
I was at a cemetery in Kentucky the other day, and my mom sent me there because she's doing this ancestry thing. Don't get into that. That and oils, avoid those, okay? Don't do that. And she had me looking for a grave marker, and I saw a grave marker, and it said something along the lines of, if you hear a trumpet, get off this grave. It's a danger. If you hear a trumpet, get off this grave. He's coming up out of there. You say, well, I don't know how that can be. That doesn't make sense. I've had Pakistani Christians ask me, but Pastor, what if that body has already decayed? What if there's nothing left but powder? What if there's nothing left but dust? You know, I don't understand, but I don't have to, because I have faith. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, I'm going to show you a mystery. What is a mystery? A mystery is something where we know part of the evidence. We have part of the information, but we don't have all of it. But with the information we have, we can come to a conclusion. And the conclusion that Paul came to is there is a resurrection of the dead. We will rise again. What a wonderful story. When I go into a place like Pakistan or in Thailand, and I begin to share the gospel with people who do not believe that there will be a resurrection, and they begin to understand there's hope after death. Not just a life to be lived and receive the karma, the punishment for your previous life, but that there is a life in heaven for all of eternity through Jesus Christ, a resurrection of the dead. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. And I underlined that word change. Now let's turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. This is still introduction, all right? Don't get ahead of me. But Philippians chapter number 3. And I'll read here just a couple of verses. Verse number 20 and 21. For our conversation is in heaven. This, of course, is speaking of our citizenship or our dwelling place. Our home is in heaven already, okay? It has been prepared for us. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Who shall, what does that say? Change. Who shall change? Who's going to change us? Jesus. Jesus is going to change us, our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able. All right? What if you just turn to powder? What if you get cremated? What if your ashes get spread out all over the ocean and eaten by 1,000 fish? He's able. He's able. It's going to come all back together again. And our vile body that we're now living in, and some of us are more vile than others. I've got a teenage son. We did quarantine for 15 days in a hotel room with 4 boys. 3 of them were teenagers. And when we left there, I told the manager, you don't want that room. Vile bodies, our diseased and sick bodies. All of the discouragement and the sadness and the pain and the suffering. All of the results of the work, the physical labor that we do. All of the results of everything that has happened to us in our lives, psychologically and physically. These bodies, the Bible says, are going to be changed. Going to be changed. A change is going to happen. A change is going to happen. 1 Corinthians 15 is our main text for this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. I'll begin reading over in verse number 51. Behold, the Apostle Paul says, behold, I show you what? A mystery. It's a mystery. We don't understand all of it. It's not for us to understand all of it. We are to believe it. Here is the mystery that Paul is sharing with us. He says here, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all, there we go again. We're all going to be changed. When that trumpet sounds, those of us who are still living are going to witness the resurrection of the dead in Christ. And then we will be changed. We will receive a new body along with those who are resurrected in Christ before our very eyes. What a day that's going to be. Amen. Amen. What a day that's going to be. I hope I'm not in America when that happens. I hope I'm working on a foreign field somewhere. I hope the Lord comes back while I'm still living. And folks, we are in the last days. Amen. We are in the last days. And I hope I'm on a foreign field somewhere. And I hope I can witness some graves opening and some believers coming up out of the graves. The world is a dark place, church. The world is a dark place and it's sick of sin. Sin is what has this world in such disarray. In Bangkok, there's no cemeteries. There's 11 million people. There's not a place to put a dead person in the ground. They cremate everyone. They cremate them and then they spread their ashes someplace or another. You have to go out of Bangkok to find a cemetery. Usually a 2 or 3 hour drive, and you can find a church of some sort that has land where the government has allowed them to bury their dead. The world is a dark place. There is no understanding of a resurrection of the dead. There is no idea or belief of that concept. Whereas you travel all over the Western Hemisphere and all over Europe, there are cemeteries. And those cemeteries are facing east because everyone understands that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. And when they come out of the tomb, they are going to be facing east, all over the world. All over the world, except where we are. And the reason is the great need. They don't know. That's why missions is so important all over the world. This idea of a resurrection of the dead is foreign to the non-believer. And the Christian ought to lean on it a lot more. When you're having a bad day, you need to understand you're just going to be here a little while longer anyway. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you. This is temporary. It's short. It's brief. It's really brief. We're just here for a few days, really. Just a few days. And then we will be with God for all of eternity. And in my mind, the greatest thing that we can do is share that information with a lost and dying world here in this area and around the world. We need more believers, we need more churches, and we need more churches reproducing themselves and growing in other places. There's a lot of people here in America that don't have accurate access to the gospel. They don't have good enough. They don't have people coming and witnessing to them. In this book, there's stories about people who are standing in the rain, covering their babies with towels so they can stand and listen to a man preach the gospel. People are hungry to know the truth about who the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he can do for us. Paul goes on and he says, in a moment, verse 52, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you're looking forward to that, but I am. I am. You ever get tired? Just tired of being tired? And just tired of being down, and tired of being discouraged, and tired of all the challenges. Let me encourage you. Two Wednesdays ago, we had a meeting, and the people that we work with, they come into Thailand legally, they go to the United Nations, and they apply for asylum, as they should, but the Thai government does not allow them to stay for more than 30 days. So after 30 days, they're hiding from the government. And the government is looking for them because they get money from them, okay? And it's a terrible thing that's going on, but there are people being blackmailed because they are Christians persecuted in Pakistan. They come to Thailand for help, and in Thailand, they get abused and persecuted again. They can't go back to Pakistan. They can't go to another country, and they can't stay where they are. Many of them, their spouses have died. About 40% of the women were physically assaulted in the worst way you can imagine before they left Pakistan. These are people that have no money, they cannot get jobs, they have medical situations, they can't go to a hospital. They are in the most desperate of straits, and some of them have been there for 11 or 12 years. 2 weeks ago on Wednesday, rather than having our prayer meeting like we did this morning on our Zoom where we do online, we had a praise meeting, and I said, if anybody has something you want to thank the Lord for, you can do it one of three ways. You can sing a song, you can just give a testimony and thank the Lord, or you can quote a scripture verse. We had 40 families in the meeting. The meeting went for 2 hours. People just thanking God for how good he is. How good he is. No money, no food, no medical, no friends, no process, no hope, but God is good. God is good. Do you know why? Because through the ministry this church helped to start, they understand this is all temporary anyway. All this is going to pass. Amen. And some of you are hoping it don't pass. You want to go fishing a couple more times. You want to go hunting this fall. There's people in the world that just want it to pass. They're looking forward to heaven. And they're praising God for what he has done. They're looking forward to that change that is coming for every believer. And it's because of the outreach of this church that they have that understanding now. They have hope. We started in January a series on hope. And then we went into faith in March. In February, we've had a whole series on love. In April, a resurrection series. And in the month of May, we've started a series on prayer. Every single revival or movement that I have witnessed in missions was always preceded by prayer. It is the Holy Spirit that does the work. We are just vessels that he's moving here and there. But I believe many times, despite us, God does great things for his honor and glory, always preceded by prayer. The Holy Spirit does the work. We're just vehicles that he's using. And Paul says we're going to be changed. For this corruptible, he says in verse 53, this corruptible, speaking of his body, must put on incorruption. It must. It must. This corruptible cannot be in the presence of a perfect and holy God. It must put on incorruption, the Bible says. And this mortal must put on immortality. You are immortal right now. We're going to die. If the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to die. Young and old, healthy and strong, man and woman, educated and not educated, we all have that in common. The end is coming for us all. Amen. You say, Brother Randy, that's pretty discouraging. It's better that you think about it. Not all the time, but think about it every once in a while. And if you're born again, thank God for it. Amen. Look forward to it. Don't be afraid. It's a change. That's all it is. We're going to be changed. We're passing from one place to another. Thank God for that. From a place of suffering and misery and pain and difficulties and challenges and labor and work and hunger into a place where none of those things exist. Amen. But we are in the presence of God himself, enjoying the light, enjoying peace, enjoying all of those things. And when I preach to these Pakistanis, you know what I tell them? I tell them, and there's no immigration officers in heaven and no passport required and no visa stamps. Nobody's going to check your papers. If you're a believer, you're coming in.
Amen.
If you're born again, you're coming in.
Amen.
Not because of your good works, not because of your talent or your ability or your position, but if you're born again, you're coming in because of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
This corruptible must put on incorruption. Verse 54 says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The Apostle Paul had something else to say about that. Over in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, one of my favorite verses. There is therefore, verse number 1, Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now. Do you know that's not in every version of the Bible, that now? Did you know that? It's not in every version. It's not in the NIV. I don't want to upset anybody, but it's in the KJV.
Amen.
It says now. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is life.
Amen.
Amen? And so thank God for his gift that he gives to us. The law is death. The world offers death and sin, and it abounds, brothers. I have seen America from afar off my whole life. I've only been in the United States a few years of my whole life. I grew up in Mexico, and then the last 12 years I've been in Thailand. And I've seen America as I enter and exit the country, the incredible changes that have happened here in the United States, where a few years ago, we may have been talking about one thing, and now it seems like the battles that the Christians are fighting have become battles of gross sin, where before we were fighting the appearance of sin. Now it seems like we've given way and we're just trying to hold the line, and there's not much left to do for society to condone and say it's okay. Who are you to say what's right or wrong? What sin is there out there that many people in America will not condone? There are very few things anymore that a person will say, that's wrong, don't do it. Very few. The list has gotten short. It has gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. Nobody's talking about, is alcoholism wrong? Nobody's talking about, is smoking wrong? People are talking about things like bestiality and things along those lines. We've given up the ground. We've said, well, we're not going to try to, you know, talk about modest dress or anything like that. Let's just give that up. And we've given ground. And as believers, we don't need to do that. We need to hold our ground to what the Word of God says and stand fast to those things. The Bible says in verse number 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And there it is in a sentence. There it is. That's what the world needs to hear. There is victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There are three main obstacles we face as missionaries. Language and culture is one of them. Government is another one. And religion is the worst. Those are our three main obstacles. And yet all of those can be overcome through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross. And by the way, oh Job, you know he said, if a man die, shall he live again? Don't worry about Job, all right? Because Job had a few other things to say. Job chapter 19, just a few chapters later, Job says this, for I know, I know, I think, I hope. Oh, Job says in Job 19, 25, for I know my Redeemer liveth.
Amen.
I wish everybody knew that. I really do. I wish everybody knew that. I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And that after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Everybody needs to know that. Everybody needs to know that. That's what missions is about. That's what missions is about. The mission field starts right outside these doors. That's where the mission field starts. That's where there are people that need to know that there is a Redeemer. And he lives.
Amen.
He lives. That old hymn, he lives within my heart. I love that old hymn. The whole world needs to know that. If you are a member of this church, I will say that there's another reason that you need to be thankful. And another reason that you need to be thankful is not only how this church has impacted your family, not only how this church has helped you and how God has led you to this church and how God is using you in this church and how you're able to minister to others and serve the Lord in this place. It's not only you and your family that are being blessed. God is using this church and you to bless people you're not going to meet until you get to heaven. All around the world, not a few, many, many. When I was in Pakistan the last time, I met 350 former Muslims who are now Christians, born again, baptized, persecuted and suffering. And by the way, if you want to know something about suffering, read the New Testament. You want to read something about persecution, read the New Testament and look at all of the verses about persecution. We should not be surprised when we are persecuted. We should be surprised when we are not persecuted. Persecution is the standard. It is what we should expect. For every believer, we should expect persecution because we are not of this world. We are citizens of another. We have a king.
Amen.
We have a country.
Amen.
We have a culture, but it's Jesus.
Amen.
And our country is in heaven.
Amen.
And our king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are citizens of that place, but we're not there yet. None of us are home. You know, I grew up all over, kind of like a military brat. What's home to you? Texas, Georgia, Germany, Japan. What is home to me? wherever my family is at the time. Be careful. Be very careful that you don't become so attached to this world that you start calling this temporary abode in your temporary body home, because it's not. It's not. This is just for a short time. But you have a place. You have a home. You have family. You have friends that have gone on before, and we will be there one day. And we're going to rejoice forevermore. Amen. Let's take some people with us.
Amen.
Let's not go alone. Let's take some people with us that can rejoice with us forevermore. You know, you can't take it with you. There's just one thing you can take with you. Others. Your family. Take them with you. Take your kids. Take your kids with you. And take others with you. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share tonight. I pray that this message would have been a blessing to someone. Lord, we thank you again for your goodness. God, I thank you for this church and for the impact it's having all around the world through every missionary and every program. God, I pray that you protect them. I pray that you bless them and continue to bless them. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will convict those who are lost. God, I pray that here in this room, you will convict those who need to make some changes, Lord, to adjust their perspective and to see, God, just how good you are to us and how that we have such a great opportunity to share the gospel with the lost around the world. I pray you'd bless every person in this room and help us throughout the rest of this day. Everything that we do this evening, Lord, bring us back together at the next appointed time. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Pastor,